Our tradition 3 says that the relatives of alcoholics gather together for mutual aid. What does this mean? Welcome to episode 409 of The Recovery Show. This episode is brought to you by Hilda, Alba, Raquel, Charlotte, Janice, Gina, and Tracy. They used the donation button on our website. Thank you, Hilda, Alba, Raquel, Charlotte, Janice, Gina, and Tracy, for your generous contributions. This episode is for you. We are friends and family members of alcoholics and addicts who have found a path to serenity and happiness. We who live or have lived with the seemingly hopeless problem of addiction understand as perhaps few others can. So much depends on our own attitudes, and we believe that changed attitudes can aid recovery. Before we begin, we would like to state that in this show we represent ourselves rather than any 12-step program. During this show, we will share our own experiences. The opinions expressed here are strictly those of the person who gave them. Take what you like and leave the rest. We hope that you will find something in our sharing that speaks to your life. My name is Spencer, and I am your solo host today. I want to open with a reading. This is from the New Daily Reader, A Little Time for Myself. This is page 73, March 13th. The Alateen slogan, "Together we can make it," changed my life. When my father passed away, I had a huge disagreement with my two older sisters. In Al-Anon, I had learned to stick up for myself, and I did, without fully realizing the consequences. Both sisters cut me off, not communicating with me for almost 10 years. I tried to fix the situation many times, but nothing worked. When I returned home from that funeral, a new STEP study group I had joined was starting the following Saturday. Coincidence? I don't think so. My higher power gave me step sisters who treat me with love and respect. They don't cut me out of their lives if I make a mistake. Together we help each other make it. Reminder, the fellowship I find in Al-Anon can be a lifeline, which I can both receive and give to others. And from Alateen, A Day at a Time, if we all try to help each other, we'll be a lot stronger. I thought of this topic recently when in one of my Al-Anon meetings where we're working through the workbook, Reaching for Personal Freedom, we were looking at Tradition 3, and the first question on page 77 asks, how do I define mutual aid? I had to think about that for a minute. It seems obvious, but then the more I think about it, the less obvious it is. I could rewrite that question to help me answer it. How do I experience mutual aid? How do I provide mutual aid? I often find that when I think about what actions are part of a concept, that it's easier for me to then understand the concept. Al-Anon's third tradition, which I mentioned at the opening, actually says, the relatives of alcoholics, when gathered together for mutual aid, may call themselves an Al-Anon family group, provided that as a group they have no other affiliation. The only requirement for membership is that there be a problem of alcoholism in a relative or friend. So we gather together for mutual aid. And I think, okay, so how did I experience this? How do I experience this? The first experience that I had of the mutual aid that we provide each other in Al-Anon was when I came into my first Al-Anon meeting. I really didn't know what I would find there. I just knew that I needed something. And I guess I hoped that Al-Anon might be it. I don't remember many specifics of that meeting. But what I do remember, what still sticks with me, is the feeling of not being alone anymore. I had been so isolated, so alone in trying to deal with, struggling with the impact of this disease. Somehow I knew that I was not alone, that I was in a room with people who understood what was going on in my life, understood what was happening in my home. And that all by itself provided me with some support, with some aid. As my time in Al-Anon got longer, as I continued to come, I started to hear some of what people were saying about their own experience and about the things that they had been able to do, the changes that they had been able to make, the new attitudes that they were assuming that were helping them. And again, that helped me. Sometimes somebody would say something like, I like to go to movies, and my husband doesn't, but I can still go to movies by myself. And I was like, whoa, wait, you can do that? Okay, that was mutual aid that I was experiencing, that I was receiving. I joined a small group. There were eight of us. We were working the steps together. We called it AWOL, a way of living or a way of life. We made a commitment to meet regularly. That group met every Monday, as I recall, once a week anyway. We were working through another one of the Al-Anon books, the Paths to Recovery book, which is really a workbook for the steps in Al-Anon. Each chapter has a set of questions that are entitled Working This Step. So we would commit to joining together and talking about the answers that we had found for ourselves, generally that we had written for each of the questions. As you might imagine, this took a while. A couple of things that I got from that group. First, just hearing other people's answers to those questions sometimes shook loose new ideas in my head or echoed the thoughts that I was having or were very different from the thoughts that I was having. Sometimes I might have said, oh, yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Or, okay, I guess that works for you, you know? Again, we were supporting each other in this way because all of us had these same experiences. There were a couple people in the group who had worked the steps before and were doing it again. And I think they also benefited from hearing the thoughts of us newbies, if you will. The other really important thing that I got from that when we got into some of the deeper steps, like four, the inventory, was finding or realizing that I was not uniquely broken, that other people had some of the same faults, some of the same character defects that I had, and that I was just human like they were. Again, real experience of aid, and again, this went not just towards me, but from me as well. In general, in our meetings, in our conversations with other Al-Anon members, we support each other. We are there to provide a sympathetic shoulder when things go wrong. We sometimes are there to provide more concrete support when somebody is sick or has another problem that they need help with. Definitely have had those experiences as well. In this program, I have learned that mutual aid does not include fixing things. It does not include controlling things. We share our experience, strength, and hope. We provide emotional support, sometimes physical support, when our friends in the program ask for it and need it. Another way, a very simple but very important way that we provide mutual aid is when we share in meetings and when I can't say you, listen in meetings. I assume you are also listening, but I'm not going to put your experience on you. When I share in meetings, I always hope and pray that what I have to share will reach somebody who could benefit from what I have to share in some way. I don't know who that is. I don't know how they're going to benefit. But I know that what my higher power leads me to say is very likely going to be of support, of help, of aid to somebody else. And when I listen in meetings, I get that back. I hear you share your experience, strength, and hope, and I find help sometimes for things I didn't even know I needed help for. There are so many ways in which we provide mutual aid. A big part of the program is sponsorship. where sponsorship can mean a more experienced member helping to, I'll say, mentor a less experienced member in something like working through the steps. But it also, and this became really clear to me after probably a few years, that one of the huge benefits of having a sponsor is having somebody who is not me that can reflect back to me the things that I'm saying, who can ask me questions to help me understand whether what I'm thinking might be the will of my higher power or not. I talked recently about the what is your motive question. That's exactly the kind of question that a sponsor might ask me. What is your motive here? Why do you want to do this? Oh, guess I need to think about that. Or my sponsor might say, sounds like you're trying to control the situation. Is that really possible? And if not, what can you do? Darn it. What do you mean I can't control it? But for me, a big part of being a sponsor was learning how to provide support without fixing, without giving advice. I think if you asked my sponsees when they come to me with a question, I don't understand what I need to do in this situation. What they get back from me is some questions. Well, what do you really want? How do you think you can get there? What do you think would work best for you? How do you feel about that? Rather than me saying what I think you ought to do is. I hope I have never said that to a sponsee. I really do. I don't think I have, but you never know. Could have happened. So there are so many ways in this program that we provide mutual aid to each other. And I know I've just touched the surface. So what are some ways in which you have experienced giving or receiving aid in the program? Let us know. And we'll hear from you in the listener feedback section of a future episode. Picking music for this was both easy and hard. There are so many songs out there about helping in some way or another, and a lot of them feel codependent to me. So we'll see how I was able to thread that needle, if I was able to thread that needle with my song selections. The first one that I picked, I think I'm pretty solid on this one, is the song Lean On Me by Bill Withers. And you can, of course, listen to all of the songs on our website at therecovery.show/409. What I like about this song is he's saying, yeah, you can bring your troubles to me, you can bring your problems to me, but I'm also going to have problems and I will be asking you. To me, we got that mutual aid thing going on. Here's some lyrics. Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain. We all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long till I'm going to need somebody to lean on. In this section of the podcast, we talk about our lives in recovery. How have we experienced recovery recently? One of the challenges that I am having as I work into a life in retirement is getting things done. I love it that I can get up in the morning and do the crossword puzzle and sip my coffee and look out the window. Maybe it's a nice day, maybe it's raining. And I'm not feeling rushed. But sometimes then I'm like, oh my God, it's almost 11 o'clock. What happened to the morning? I was going to go to the gym. I was going to work on the podcast. So there's the problem. Sounds like something to pray and meditate on, maybe. To balance the things that I want to do, the things that I need to do, and just taking some time. One of the things that I love is being able to go for long walks with my dog the other day. It was very nice out. Very nice for Michigan in March means it was above 60 and it was sunny. So we went to a park. I brought along my camera and we just took our time walking down the paths. This is a park along a river, so across some bridges, looking at the birds. I had a conversation with another woman who was walking. She said, right over there, there's a swan on a nest. So I was able to just take a little bit of time and kind of creep down and peer through the branches, which haven't leafed out yet, so I could see through them, to see this, you know, lovely white swan sitting serenely on a nest. Spent some time sitting serenely on a bench also. And yeah, was I getting anything done? I was getting a little bit of exercise. I was getting some sun. On the other hand, yesterday I was planning to go to the gym. I try to get to the gym a couple times a week to do some weight work. And that was one of those mornings when I was like, oh my God, it's 11 o'clock already. And I have these other things I have to do. And so I didn't make it to the gym yesterday. So I went today. My recovery program includes taking care of myself, because for so long I didn't take very good care of myself. I'm still working out how I'm going to balance that those parts of my life now that I don't have a regular routine imposed by work. And I'm feeling like developing some sort of new regular routine is probably a good idea. So we'll get there. It'll be a journey. Y'all can follow me along now that I'm done babbling. I'm going to be taking a break for a couple weeks, and then I really want to come back and start in on a series of episodes on the steps with your help. The way I want to do that, I want to take probably how Al-Anon works, but possibly also readings from Paths to Recovery, and do an episode based on the reading with a guest, or more than one if we can coordinate it. I find just getting me and a guest together on a schedule can be difficult sometimes, and trying to get two people or three people, almost impossible. Who knows? We might make that work. I will be sending out an email to the email list asking for volunteers. I've got a couple of volunteers for a couple of steps already. If you have a particular step you'd like to do, let me know. I do want to start with step one. Clearly, I'm going to want somebody who volunteers for step one. And you can do that. You can send a voice memo or email to feedback@therecovery.show. You can leave a voicemail at 734-707-8795. You can use the voicemail button on the website to join the conversation from your computer. We'd really love to hear from you. Please share your experience, strength, and hope, or your questions about today's topic of mutual aid or any of the steps. If you have a topic you'd like us to talk about, let us know. If you'd like advance notice so that you can contribute to that topic, and I have to admit that I have not sent out an advance notice to the email list in quite a while, but it will happen. You can sign up for our mailing list by sending an email to feedback@therecovery.show. Put email in the subject line to make it easier to spot. Although I got one today that said subscribe, that's also obvious. Our website is therecovery.show, where we have all the information about the show with notes for each episode, links to the books that we read from or talked about, etc. Videos for the music we chose, and there are some links to other recovery podcasts and websites. We'll take a little break before looking at the mailbag, and our second musical selection, also available on the website, is Breathe Me by Sia. This, to me, really, this feels like, to some extent, how I felt when I was new in the program and just looking for something. A few lyrics here. Be my friend, hold me, wrap me up, enfold me. I am small and needy, warm me up and breathe me. Okay, I've heard from a few of you recently. Marsha writes, "Hi, Spencer. I'm writing you from the great state of Texas. Born and raised too many years ago to even mention. I feel so excited to have found your podcast. I had no idea what an amazing amount of information is being shared. My question for you or any of your amazing co-hosts is, where do I begin? I have every book, every supporting book for individual progress, and notes galore. 10,000 newly sharpened left-handed pencils, markers, highlighters, and stickers with smiley faces to help express myself. Sounds crazy, but I have prepared for this journey since I heard your first podcast. I downloaded each one. I began listening to them, starting with the most current, and then decided maybe I should go back to the beginning, to your first episode where you began. So I'm bouncing between the oldest and the newest, depending on the subject that I see in the title. I just feel like I have so much information, but I don't know where to start. Please help me, or at least make suggestions to help me get started. Thank you so much for everything that y'all do on the podcast. This has been the most amazing discovery of my life. And certainly, no pun was intended. Bless you all. Marsha. And she signs it with, find beauty in everything, which I love. Marsha, you know what you don't say here is whether you're, like, attending Al-Anon meetings. Like, you got all the books and you listen to the podcast, but are you going to meetings? Are you talking to people? Because that's a great place to start, honestly. You will find people who will welcome you in. You will find people who will gently introduce you to the program. And that's where you can start. Where do you start with the podcast? I have no idea. I have thought from time to time that putting together a sort of a starter list of podcast episodes might be a good idea. But I don't know which ones. There's so many. I don't even know which ones. There's some obvious ones. I don't know. We early did an episode about what is Al-Anon. We've done some episodes about my first meeting. I know we did at least one titled My First Meeting. Those were all early in the program. But we bounce around. It's not a class. It doesn't have a syllabus. Somebody, maybe one of you guys out there listening, can put together your set of must-listen episodes or something like that. What I recommend to people coming into a meeting, this is what I did. Of course, this is what I suggest you do, right? Because I can only talk from my own experience, something like that. I got the book How Al-Anon Works, and I read the first part of the book in order, but I also jumped into the back part of the book where it has the personal stories. And I did not read those in any kind of order. I would pick one that sounded like, oh, maybe this might say something to me, because they gave me hope. They helped to calm the squirrel or hamster or whatever it was running on their wheel in my brain. They helped me sleep. They helped me get a little bit of serenity in a moment to moment. But the front part of the book is, here's Al-Anon, here's the program. Here's the things you might already know or might not know that we know. Here are the steps, here are some slogans, etc. So that's one place to start that worked for me after I started coming to meetings. Yeah, where do you start? If you're not already going to meetings, find some meetings. River writes, Hi, Spencer. I hope you're doing well. I was wondering if anyone else might have experience recovering from a qualifier who has a personality disorder, such as, in my case, narcissistic personality disorder, or NPD. It's been almost 2 years since we separated, but recovery has been difficult for many reasons. My kids were harmed, and that's been the worst part. Now, after 2 years of therapy and doctor's visits, they are finally doing much better, but I'm not. I've not been to a meeting in over a year. I've been too afraid of seeing him at Al-Anon meetings. He had a way of perversely using the steps to manipulate me and twist the words of the big book to his advantage. Again, I think a result of his personality disorder. I feel lost. I miss the program. I miss having a connection with my higher power and want to come back. But I'm hesitant to run into anyone he knows. He has since relapsed again, and even though we are divorced, it's also a major source of anxiety. Anyway, I just wondered if anyone else out there has experience with this. If so, I would really appreciate hearing their experience, strength, and hope. Thank you for all you do, River. First thing, if you have that experience and you would like to share it with us or just with River, you can send me an email. I can forward it on. And if you like, I can share it here for others who are in a similar place. I just say to River, you know, I'm sorry, I don't have that experience. And also, I don't think it's something we've explored directly on the podcast. I know a couple episodes about abuse that talked about gaslighting. I'm trying to remember. But it's not something we've explored in depth. I do have a thought about attending Al-Anon meetings, which is to look for online meetings. Al-Anon.org website has an electronic meeting page that lists electronic meetings that are all over the world. I was in a meeting recently that the time was specified as Pacific time, but included people in Europe, in different parts of the United States, and who knows where else, because not everybody identified their location. So an online meeting, also, it's easier for you to be anonymous. You can leave your camera off. You can put whatever name you want in a little box on the screen. And it's much less likely you're going to run into him or his friends at an online meeting that maybe is centered in California or England or wherever. There are online meetings that are big. There are online meetings that are relatively small. So you can just blend into the crowd in a big meeting, but start to get that meeting experience back. Start to get that connection back. And I know that you don't get the same connection meeting online as you do in person. But if you're not getting it at all, I think this could be a step forward, a step up, whatever. I also will suggest, again, this one's come up several times in recent episodes, the Adult Child Podcast, which there's a link in the sidebar on the website at therecovery.show. Sidebar is at the bottom. If you're on a phone or a tablet, it's on the right-hand side of the screen if you're on a computer. But I know that she has episodes talking about NPD and related disorders and living with or recovering from the people that were in your life with that had those. That would be at adultchildpodcast.com, or you can just click on the link at the Recovery Show website. So there's some thoughts for you. Deborah says, "Hi, Spencer. I just listened to episode 407, your talk at the AA Stampede. I've heard your story in bits and pieces over the years. I've been listening. However, your Al-Anon journey across time and relationships was impressive to hear all at once. From your journey with your wife and marriage to your children, then teens, then young adults, and finally to your parents as they experienced dementia. What a beautiful example of how to apply Al-Anon principles in all, literally, your affairs. Thank you for your generosity to share your story. It helped me, and I know it will help so many others." I'm going to break in here. This is Spencer. I want to say thank you, Deborah. Wow. Yeah, I think what I didn't talk about, the affairs that I didn't talk about in there, is work, which I've spent plenty of time on the podcast talking about. But yes, I have, over the years, come to apply Al-Anon principles in literally all of my affairs. So thanks for that feedback, Deborah. She continues, "I am currently applying my program tools to my son's upcoming wedding. He and I have been on such a long journey through our codependency, individual recovery processes, and both of us becoming healthier, better humans. However, in times of stress and pressure, the disease rears its ugly head. Damn the monster, mine and his, in the basement who has been doing push-ups. The pressures of planning a wedding, merging families, and financial impacts immediately triggered my controlling behavior and his defiant resistance. Why on earth would I be surprised by this? LOL. It took a bit for both of us to recognize what was happening. An Al-Anon friend actually said to me, 'Mother of the groom is supposed to show up and shut up.' My higher power gently guided me to slow down, breathe, and wait to be asked for help, support, and input. I am now happily having my gown designed and creating the welcome bags for the hotel guests as requested to do. Since I shut up, I've been invited to the wedding gown selection, the wedding dinner tasting, and asked for advice from my son on a couple of issues he was worrying about. What a gift to not try to take control. It is their wedding, and I am in such gratitude that my son is sober, has a lovely fiancée I thoroughly enjoy. I am blessed. If not for Al-Anon, I'm pretty sure I would have alienated them both by now. Thank you for all you do. I have just sent the link for episode 407 to a new sponsee. What a great way for someone new to hear another's journey. Deborah C. in Florida. That is a great share of experience, strength, and hope of applying Al-Anon principles in your life. Thanks for sharing that, Deborah. Roberta left a voicemail.
Hi, Spencer. This is Roberta from California, and I'm calling on episode 408, a deep dive into sharing in meetings. You and Heather did a fabulous job on covering lots of topics on that, or subtopics, I should say. And for me, sharing in meetings is something that is part of my recovery, and it is said that we need to listen and also share our experience, strength, and hope in meetings. And sometimes that's hard for me. When you both touched on the point of gossip, it definitely made me think and reconsider certain things that I do bring up in meetings. Now, I don't necessarily point out the people, and so that's why when I share from my experience, strength, and hope, if I say my daughter, or if I say my ex-husband, or if I say my sister, or somebody, a friend, or whatever, I still feel like I'm covering their anonymity by not using a first name. And these people who I'm speaking to don't know who I'm speaking about. They know the general idea. So I feel when I do share deeply about certain individuals or certain things that people have done to me, somebody else may be able to relate and contact me, and we can have a side conversation or a side call on that, because that's how I get my recovery too. When somebody shares something deeply, I will ping somebody and be like, I need your number, please. I want to talk to you about how you got there or how you did that in your recovery. Just food for thought. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate all your support you do for this meeting. Spencer, you're a treasure. Have an amazing day.
Roberta, thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope, and your ideas, your tools about sharing. Glad that we were able to say a few things that brought you to think. Thanks. Claire writes, Hi, Spencer, and all involved in the recovery show. Firstly, thank you for your service. I only discovered the podcast within the last couple of years, although I've been with Al-Anon for over 12 years now. This is a gentle program. Following a lot of listening, learning, service, and beneficial recovery, I found a great sponsor around a year ago. As I embarked properly on my 12-step program, it was great to go back through your catalog and listen to episodes about each step as I came to them in my step work. So I was really pleased to hear you'll be returning to consider the 12 steps in future podcasts. I'm still working on step 4, so I have a long way to go yet. I thought I would share some thoughts on step 3, which you can use in the associated episode if it's helpful. Claire, I'm going to use them right now, and we might come back to them when we talk about step 3 in episode in the future. But anyway, going forward, she writes, an early discovery in my step work, albeit not really a surprise to me, was that I have a very strong sense of responsibility. This is why I found elements of step 3 hard to take on. I grappled with what it meant to hand over my life to my higher power. I had been around Al-Anon long enough to learn to let go and let God on issues which felt overwhelming to me, such as crises and extreme behavior. I was also getting good at noticing and expressing gratitude for blessings and good things in life. However, sharing my life and handing over the everyday items, not just the extremes of good or bad, was really hard. It felt irresponsible, like an abdication of the responsibilities I should hold. I took an all-or-nothing approach, like if I handed something over, I was no longer an active participant. My sponsor has a beautiful, gentle energy. She helped me to sit with this uncertainty and think about how I partner with my higher power in day-to-day life. I also spoke to other Al-Anon friends about their experience. A strange feeling came with the sense that I might already be doing step 3 on a regular basis. Something in me needed it to be hard, to be more work, to feel like I was having to earn it. I still have some doubts about how I'm handing over to my higher power on a regular basis, but I have gained confidence that it's something I can do. Handing over my will still feels sometimes a bit like giving up and taking no part in my life. But these days, I feel more like it's about helping me to be present and open to spiritual experiences every day. I don't have to wait for a crisis to touch base with my higher power and want to hand something over. This acceptance of gentleness has been a fantastic grounding for my step four also. For years, I've been daunted by the idea of step four. The work I've done in step three has helped me to embark on step four in a more humane way. Without what I did in step three, I know I would have gone into step four with the desire to catalog and analyze every minute of my entire life in a completely unachievable way. Now, we are working gently through a series of questions about my character, assets, and aspirations for life. It's helping me to be present rather than driven by a long list of activities without which I don't feel I'm achieving. I can derive value from being, not just doing. I look forward to hearing more from the Recovery Show. Many thanks, Claire in the UK. Claire, so much thanks for sharing that with us. I love this approach that you're taking, and that really doing that has grounded your step four and give you a more gentle way into the inventory. That's wonderful. Thanks for writing. Judy left a voicemail.
Hi, my name is Judy. I have been a very long time listener. In fact, I went back when I first found you years ago. I went back to the beginning episode and listened to all of them. And it's been a big part of my healing journey and my recovery. And I'm grateful for you and what you do. I listened to you through Google Podcasts, and that's ending. And other than the recoveryshow.com, is there another way that you can guide me to listen to the podcast where I would get a notification? Thank you so much.
Yeah, Judy, I bet there's more than one person listening right now who is wondering the same thing. You don't say, but I'm going to assume you're using Google Podcasts on an Android phone. And if so, here's a thing you can do to find a new podcast app. If you go to the Recovery Show website at therecovery.show, tap on subscribe in the menu at the top of the page, and then tap on the Android button. And this will take you to a page titled Subscribe on Android. On this page, there's a number of podcast apps listed that will work on your Android phone, which currently includes Google Podcasts, but obviously you're not going to choose that one. What it doesn't do is provide guidance for selecting one app over another. And since I have an iPhone, I don't have a recommendation because I don't have an Android phone. The app that I use is iPhone only. I will put a link in the show notes at therecovery.show/409 to one person's list of recommended podcast apps. I know that Google wants you to switch to YouTube Music, but a lot of podcasts, including this one, are not yet available on YouTube Music. Another app some people do to listen to podcasts is Spotify. We're not there yet. I know I need to get on Spotify. There's some hoops I have to jump through regarding the episodes that have music in them. They just won't be available on Spotify. And then I have to actually go do the thing with the Spotify log in, and I haven't figured that out yet. Yeah. So that would be an option, but it's not. I'm sorry. And that's it. That's all the mail today. The last song that I picked, I know I've heard it before, but it's not one that I was really familiar with. It's Song for a Friend by Jason Mraz. When I listened to it and when I read the lyrics, the way I read this song, and I don't know, this is how he intended it. I don't know if this is the way you read this song, but the way I read it is that it's a message of learning to love yourself and to find your own strengths. Here's some lyrics. Even if there's no one else, he said, you've got to love yourself. And then, because when you play the fool now, you're only fooling everyone else, you're learning to love yourself. And then later, you've got to find out for yourself whether or not you're truly trying. Why not give it a shot? Shake it, take control, inevitably wind up, find out for yourself all the strengths you have inside still rising. So we hear this moving from, you got to love yourself, you're learning to love yourself, you're finding your strengths. And all throughout the song, he is providing support in this journey. So feels like a good song for this episode. Thank you for listening, and please keep coming back. Whatever your problems, there are those among us who have had them too. If we did not talk about a problem you are facing today, feel free to contact us so we can talk about it in a future episode. May understanding, love, and peace grow in you one day at a time.